deserve to be here, but you allow me to be here anyway. And I know the enemy doesn't like that, but you deemed it so, so it doesn't matter. I thank you for that, Father God. I thank you for everything that you've done for me, for my family, for my pastor, for his family, for this church family. I love you, Lord, and I thank you for everything that you have done. We give you all the praise and all the honor and all the glory. This is our prayer in Christ Jesus' name. Amen. We serve a good God. A good, good God. Whatever you need, he has it. He can cover you. Whatever you need. What do you need? What do you need? Have you ever needed healing? Have you ever needed healing? Jesus was a healer. Hundreds, thousands of people in the Bible. You read about them. You read about them. So many people. There was the man at the pool of Bethesda. Get up, take up your bed and walk. It's okay. Walk, heal him, just like that. The man that was blind took the dirt and spit in it and put it in his eyes and everything, and he could see. Heal him, just like that. There was the 10 lepers. Remember that he sent them on the way. They were healing as they were healed as they went, and only one came back and thanked him. Healing, so many examples. So his anointing, his healing anointing was so strong. All you had to do was just touch the hem. That's all you had to do, and you would be made whole. His anointing, his healing anointing was so strong that the Roman officer, he said, don't even come. Don't even come to my house. Just stay where you are. Speak the word. He'll be healed. That's okay. Just stay where you are. That's all you have to do. His anointing was so strong, grown men tore up the roof of a house to drop a sick man down in front of Jesus, knowing he would be healed. That's how strong his anointing, his healing was. Jesus is a healer. What do you need? What do you need? Do you need a prophetic word? Jesus was a prophet. How many scriptures do you read about in the Bible where you see Jesus giving a prophetic word, where he said, I'm going to go raise up Lazarus? It hadn't been done, but he knew he was going to do it. He gave that word. I know I can look back on my life so many times, and I could hear Jesus just in my spirit telling me, giving me a prophetic word. Stop. Just stop. Or go. Now's the time to push. Now's the time. Here's your breakthrough. Go, go, go. Push. Fight, fight. Or wait. Always giving me, talking to me, talking to my spirit, giving me that prophetic word. Jesus was a prophet. He was a teacher. At the age of 12, in the synagogue, going about his father's business, teaching, 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 using parables, teaching, always teaching. He was an evangelist, going from town to town, evangelizing so many thousands and thousands of people. What do you need? He was a healer. He was a prophet. He was an evangelist. He was a teacher. But it doesn't stop there. What I'm grateful for is that Jesus was also a pastor. And he had a pastor's heart. And what I want to do, I want to share three texts with you that shows how he had a pastor's heart. If you can, please turn with me to Mark chapter 2. We're going to do this real fast because I don't want to go against Nicole's rules and go over the 7 minutes. Got to be careful. Mark chapter 2. Mark chapter 2. We're going to look at verse 15 all the way through verse 17. Mark chapter 2, verse 15 through 17. I'll be reading from the New Living Translation. Mark chapter 2. Verse 15 through verse 17. If you have it, say amen. I always wanted to say that. You know, I preach, if you have it, say amen. I always wanted to do that. I got that out of my system now, so okay. All right. Reading from the New Living Translation. That night, Levi invited Jesus and his disciples to be his dinner guests, along with his fellow tax collectors and many other notorious sinners. There were many people of this kind among the crowds that followed Jesus. But when some of the teachers of religious law, who were Pharisees, saw him eating with people like that, they said to his disciples, "Why does he eat with such scum?" When Jesus heard this, he told them, "Healthy people don't need a doctor. Sick people do. I have come to call sinners, not those who think they are already good enough." A pastor's heart, a desire to be with, to eat with, to talk with those folk who have been rejected and cast aside as no good. Real quick, let's just flip a few pages over to Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19, we're going to look at verse 1 through 10 really quick, really quickly. Luke 19. What, no, just hold on. Luke 19, 1 through 10. If you have it, say amen. Amen. Again, reading from the New Living Translation. Jesus entered Jericho and made his way through the town. There was a man there named Zacchaeus. He was one of the most influential Jews in the Roman tax collecting business, and he had become very rich. He tried to get a look at Jesus, but he was too short to see over the crowds. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore tree beside the road so he could watch from there. When Jesus came by, he looked up at Zacchaeus and called him by name. "Zacchaeus," he said, "quick, come down, for I must be a guest in your home today." Zacchaeus quickly climbed down, took Jesus to his house in great excitement and joy. But the crowds were displeased. "He has gone to be the guest of a notorious sinner," they grumbled. Meanwhile, Zacchaeus stood there and said to the Lord, "I will give half my wealth to the poor, Lord. And if I have overcharged people on their taxes, I will give them back four times as much." Jesus responded, "Salvation has come to this home today, for this man has shown himself to be a son of Abraham, and I, the Son of Man, have come to seek and save those like him who are lost." I'm starting to see a little bit of a pattern here. Here he is again, reaching out to those who are considered no good. Let's look at one more text. Romans chapter 3. Just keep moving in the same direction. Flip over a few pages. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. And we're going to look at verse 31 through 34. Romans chapter 8, verse 31 through 34. If you have it, say amen. 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 "What can we say about such wonderful things as these? If God is for us, who can ever be against us? Since God did not spare even his own son, but gave him up for all of us, won't God, who gave us Christ, also give us everything else? Who dares accuse us whom God has chosen for his own? Will God? No. He is the one who has given us right standing with himself. Who then will condemn us? Will Jesus Christ? No. For he is the one who died for us and was raised to life for us and is sitting at the place of highest honor next to God, pleading for us. Look at Jesus, powerful Jesus, mighty Jesus, the CEO of the universe, sitting next to God, pleading for us. That's a pastor's heart. That is a pastor's heart. A pastor will triumph with, when we triumph, he celebrates with us. And when we have tragedy, it's a pastor who walks with us who prays with us, and who cries with us. When I got engaged, I told Pastor, "Oh, Pastor, I'm engaged." "Oh, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Wonderful, you engaged. Good, good." I said, "Okay, Pastor, I would really appreciate it if you could give me and my fiance some pre-marriage counseling, you know, so we can, you know, get things all together." I said, "Oh, glad to." And so we would go over and see Pastor and Lady Dawson. They gave us books and workbooks and all kinds of stuff. And we read, and they're giving us good instruction and good counsel, you know, helping us set up a framework for our marriage. And it was real good. And he gave us a lot of good information. And I remember one thing that you said to me. And you kind of said it as kind of as a matter of fact. You know, not too much. He just said it in passing, but I never forgot it. And it really turned out to be true. He said, we were done with the formal part of the teaching, and we were getting ready to leave. He said, "You are going to learn so much about Latrell after you guys get married and you're living under one roof." And I'm thinking to myself, "Yeah, of course I'm going to learn, you know, more." He said, "No, you're going to learn, like, you know, the little things. You're going to learn. I'm like, "Oh, okay. And boy, you were right. So amen. So one of the things that I learned that I want to share, it's not too much, you know, too much business, family business. But one of the things that I learned, Latrell and I, both of us travel quite a bit for work. And just for example, she was gone this week for work. And she does this all the time. When she's away, she'll call home, and I work late. I get home, I work late. Get home, you know, around 9:30. Tired, you hungry, you know, baby not there, so I go make a little something in the kitchen, bring it in the room, sit down, click, 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 click. You know, Kobe got the ball, it's in the fourth quarter, you know, I'm ready now. I'm ready, house is quiet, I'm ready to watch the little game. Hello? Hey, baby, how you doing? What you doing? Oh, getting ready to eat. Oh, okay. We get any mail? Yeah, baby, we got some mail. What did we get? Oh, food getting cold, you know. Game almost over. Oh, we got some, you know, we got some mail, we got some bills, and you got some of this and some of that. Did we get any sale papers? Yeah, baby, we got some sale papers. Which ones? We got the stuff from Bed Bath & Beyond, and what the coupons say. And no, this is the point. This is the point I'm making. It's the coupons. When you get those little sales papers, these little things, I'm serious. So important, these sale papers with the coupons and the Bed Bath & Beyond, and you get the 40% off, the 20% off, the 2-for-1, the buy one, get one free. Them little coupons, the buy one, get one free. She get excited over the phone. Have me put it on her night table so she have it all right there when she get home. Want the 2-for-1 coupon. So excited. And I thought this week, God does the same thing for us. We have a pastor in heaven, Jesus, with a pastor's heart, who sits next to God, pleading for us in the spirit realm. And we also have a pastor right here, 2-for-1. In the earth realm, who every week, he lines up with the word and he pleads for us. So we know we don't have to walk this alone. Every day when I drive into work, I don't listen to the radio on the way to work. I can't, because I got to get my mind right. Otherwise, you know, you could end up saying stuff, you know, because people are crazy. So I pray on my way to work. And I know that as I'm praying, somewhere my pastor is in his prayer closet praying for me, that things go well in my job, things go well in my marriage, things go well in my finances. And I know he does the same thing for everyone in this church. Two for one.
Pastor Dawson has one of the biggest hearts of anyone I know. And because he has a pastor's heart, when our hearts are heavy, his heart is heavy. And when our hearts rejoice, his heart rejoices. For me personally, Pastor Dawson has been the father that was missing in my life. For those of you who don't know, I didn't grow up with a father. I actually have never even met my father. But God blessed me to have met Pastor Dawson. And he has treated me like a daughter. There have been times that I've needed him to just be an ear to listen to me, and he's there. There have been times when I needed words of wisdom, and he was there. There have been times when I needed to know that I was wrong. Not very often, because I'm almost always right. But the times when I have messed up, he was there for me, not condemning me, but helping me to get back on track. And there have been times when I've needed to know that I was right, many, 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 many times. And Pastor was there to encourage me and keep me going further and further with God. Pastor Dawson has helped me to realize that God has made me wonderful and beautiful, and he has helped me to realize that God loves me so much and has gifted me to do so much. And that he wants to bless me with so much more. There was a time when I felt that I was only good enough for certain little blessings. I never thought that I could ever have everything that God wants me to have, but Pastor Dawson has helped me to see that God wants me to have everything that he wants to bless me with. One more thing that means a lot to me, and I'll tell you why in just a second. As I said before, when I needed Pastor with words of wisdom, he was there. And recently, Pastor told me that he wasn't going to try to protect me from getting hurt. Now, most parents would want to protect their children from getting hurt. But what Pastor was saying was that his job wasn't to protect me, it was just to help me make the right decisions and to do what was best for me. Parents, you can't protect your children from getting hurt. People get hurt. And forget that whole thing about time heals all wounds. Pastor Dawson once said, time doesn't do anything but pass. God is the healer. Most people, when they meet me, they think, oh, Angie's so nice and Angie's so sweet. And in the back of their minds is, Angie is so weak. But not Pastor Dawson. Not Pastor Dawson. He thinks I'm nice and sweet, but when people think that you're nice and sweet, they think that you're weak, and they try to protect you from getting hurt. And I understand that people love me and they want to protect me from getting hurt, but sometimes people will try to shelter you from things and people, and sometimes they'll even lie to you to keep you from getting hurt. But Pastor has done neither of these. He's always honest with me, and he always helps me to make the right decision. Pastor has allowed me to grow so much at Spirit of Life. He's allowed me to preach. He's allowed me to teach. He's allowed me to lead the youth. He's allowed me to dance. And amazingly, he's allowed me to lead praise and worship. If someone had told me 10 years ago that I would be leading praise and worship, I'd probably laugh. But here I am. And not only has he allowed me to be a praise and worship leader, but he's allowed me to do it my way. He's allowed me to do it the way that I do it. Nothing more, nothing less. He hasn't asked me to change anything. He lets me be me. There's so much I could say about Pastor Dawson, and I don't know how someone's expected to do it in a mere 3 minutes. The thing today is a pastor's heart. So before, and I probably have already run out of time, I want to speak to your heart, Pastor. Pastor Dawson, I love you dearly. Thank you for being the father that I've needed. I want you to know because of you, I now realize how much I mean to God. Because of you, I realize my value. I promise you that I will not just come here and listen to what you have to teach, but I will learn it and apply it to my life so that I can be the best Angie I can be. I promise to always be honest with you. I promise I will make my daily devotionals into a book. I promise to always pray for you and your family. I promise to always encourage you. I promise to always have your back. And last but not least, I promise to always love you. Thank you for having a pastor's heart. And this testimony is for everyone to know that I have my pastor's heart.
Good morning, church. When I was first asked to come up here and speak about the pastor, I said, I can't do that in 7 minutes. But it would be my honor to tell people how he is a devoted husband, a loving father, how he is friends to many, a leader, a mentor, an entrepreneur. He is significant beyond resistance, how he loves the Lord. Then Nicole simply told me maybe I need to be a little more specific and speak about what's in his heart. Now, you see, for a man to speak about another man's heart, there has to be a connection. I would say to know a man's heart is to know his spirit. And our spirits have to be similar. They have to be on the same path. You know, you can't know a man's heart if your spirit is going one way and his spirit is going in the opposite direction. So let's turn to our Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 14. When everybody has it, can you say amen? Amen. Chapter 14, verse 1. Now it came to pass upon a day that Jonathan, the son of Saul, said unto the young man that bare his armor, come, and let us go over to the Philistines' garrison that is on the other side. But he told not his father. Verse 6. And Jonathan said to the young man that bare his armor, come, and let us go over unto the garrisons of these uncircumcised. It may be that the Lord will work for us. For there is no restraint to the Lord to save by many or by few. And his armor bearer said unto him, do all that is in thine heart. Turn thee, behold, I am with thee according to thy heart. Then said Jonathan, behold, we will pass over unto these men, and we will discover ourselves unto them. Go down to verse 10. But if they say thus, come up unto us, then we will go up, for the Lord hath delivered them into our hand. And this shall be a sign unto us. And in verse 12, and the men of the garrison answered Jonathan and his armor bearer and said, come up to us, and we'll show you a thing. And Jonathan said unto his armor bearer, come up after me, for the Lord hath delivered them into the hand of Israel. Now, if you know this story, you know that Jonathan, the son of Saul, was in a camp, and nobody had a sword but Jonathan and his dad. And Jonathan woke up in the middle of the night, and he woke his armor bearer up. And he told his armor bearer, look, I know you don't have a sword, but we're going to climb up on this rock, and there's hundreds and thousands of Philistines, and we're going to go up there, and we're going to fight them. Don't worry about what's going to happen, because I got a word from the Lord. I got a sign from the Lord. So all you have to do is follow me. So can you imagine his armor bearer not thinking twice about the situation? Said, I know it's only two of us. But see, he knew what was in Jonathan's heart. He knew that Jonathan's spirit was anointed by God. See, our pastor's spirit is anointed by God. When you walk by him, you feel better. When he speaks, people get healed. He brings understanding where there is confusion. Where there is despair, he brings hope. When you're down, he lifts you up. He keeps us focused. He may not be having a good day, but he always has a good word. He wants his sermon to manifest in our life. He is led by the Holy Spirit. God has deposited the Holy Spirit in Pastor Dawson. That means his spirit is directly connected to God. So if his spirit is connected to God, then his heart is also connected to God. So there's joy in his heart. Compassion is in his heart. Love is in his heart. Obedience is in his heart. Praise is in his heart. And worship is in his heart. His spirit pleases our spirit. So when he gets a vision for this house, spirit of life, that souls will be saved, that there will be no more poverty, that we will be debt free, that we will own acres, that there will be a senior complex, that men of God will fill our church, that we'll have a couples ministry, and businesses will be born in this house. Lives will change. Marriages and millionaires will be born in spirit of life. We will be lenders and not borrowers. We will make a rippling effect across the city of Inglewood and beyond in the name of Jesus. Then we know that his vision is coming directly from God. And our spirits are pleased. See, some preachers please your flesh. You know, they look good when they preach. They say what you want to hear. But to please your spirit, deep down, the most holiest place, the place where the Holy Ghost dwells. Oh, come on, Pastor. So, Pastor, I want you to know that as your armor bearer, like Jonathan's armor bearer, when you call me in the middle of the night and you say, Pete, I know the enemy has got us surrounded. I know we may be outnumbered. They got Uzis and AKs and shotguns. I know it doesn't look good right now, but my God, the God of Abraham, my God, he gave me a word and he showed me a sign. And Pete, we're going to climb up on that rock. And we're going to fight. We're going to fight poverty and kill fear. We're going to fight depression and selfishness and bitterness. We're going to bind generational curses, stomp out high blood pressure and diabetes. We're going to paralyze drugs and alcohol, loneliness, illiteracy. We're going to fight homelessness and cancer. I don't need a sword because I know victory is ours. You want to know what's in my pastor's heart? His heart is a reflection of God. Amen.
Pastor, this is...
Happy birthday, Pastor. This is Cole. I am your biggest fan. Thank you.
Happy birthday, Pastor. This is your boy Dama. I just want to say you're the best pastor ever. You're the nicest, coolest pastor.
Pastor is nice to me. I love Pastor because he is cool and makes me happy. I want to be just like him. I love you. From Curtis, a.k.a. CJ.
Happy birthday. I love you. Very good birthday. Love, Valentine Williams. Yeah. Valerie Williams.
Okay. Dear Pastor Dawson, you have inspired me to learn more about the Lord. You baptized me into God's family. Love, Joel.
I guess that's it.
Happy birthday.
And I'm a grown-up, and I still hate reading out loud. Every time the teacher comes to me, I get all nervous and sweaty. It's really bad, so you guys did great. All right, it is that time when we're going to come with our colored offerings. Who doesn't have a colored envelope? Okay, raise your hands high. Can the ushers help me out? And then can I get the regular baskets too? Thank you. Here you go. Here, Cameron, I have some for you. Wait, let me give you some more. Okay. For those of you who don't know, the colored envelopes are for pastor's appreciation. And those are going to go in this beautiful purple basket right here in the middle, matching with our themes. And by the way, the stuff on the stage is officially ours. It will be staying here. It will be here, so we'll have a nice stage. Yay! Amen. Amen. Come on. We're making progress. Carpet, chairs, stage. We're heading there. Here we go. And so please put your special offering for Pastor, the one that says, I love you. I love you a lot. In this envelope. And then your regular tithes and offering, because it doesn't help if I say, I love you, Pastor, and I forgot my tithes and offering. Amen. That's not how I love you. So we're going to put both. Anyone need a tithe envelope? Okay. I'm sorry, I'm making the ushers work. Really, you know, can we get some applause for Desi working all hard like that? Thank you, Desi. She'll pass around the tithe envelope. So the band's going to give us some great music. We're going to march around. There we go. We're going to put our tithe an offering in these baskets, pastor's special offering in the middle basket, and we're going to celebrate that we've got something to give, whether it's even a penny, because there's people in the world who don't have anything to give.
Sister Dawson, how can I say something about a pastor's heart when he has my heart? We've been together for 5 years. And it's been 5 very happy years. I mean, some people, they can disguise stuff for 6 months, 1 year. They can do that for 5 years. So I know he is such a beautiful person, such a beautiful heart. And I wrote him something some years ago. And since I know his memory, you know, is not that good on certain things, I'm going to read it again. And he's going to think it's the first time. So if y'all don't tell him, it's going to be all right. Today is your birthday, honey. I want for you to know that since the day I first saw you, my love for you just grew. I love your unique laugh. I love your gentle way. Even when the situation is really bad, you have something nice to say. I could never express how much I admire you or explain the great man you are. There will be nothing I could say that will go nearly that far. When God decided to make you, he doubled the dose of love and care. He also gave you double humbleness so you wouldn't have your nose up in the air. You are a great pastor, husband, dad, friend, and on and on. And of course, I wouldn't skip to tell you, Mom said you are also a great son. Those that know me well No, I can talk about you all day. But people are hungry. They want to go home. So I'll just say, I love you and happy birthday. That was 2 minutes.
I'm just overwhelmed by this service today, the prayer, the praise, the worship, the words of scripture, the expressions from everyone, different things they were saying, and what what they have done in terms of putting this together has a lot of meaning. You don't know how much it means to be able to sit and share in that. And to see my wife also share her other side, the side of humor. That's what I get all the time at home. We have a lot of fun. She has no fear of me. I've been trying to instill the fear of God in her, but she has no fear. But I celebrate that. The other thing I'm excited about, with everything that's been said as I was worshiping here, I'm trying to solve a puzzle, because I've been preaching endless victory, and I need to see it manifested. And not just in my life, in the life of all the members here. And as I was worshiping, God gave me the scripture. I have the sermon for March 1. I didn't have it for next week. But he gave me the secret of what we need to do to have that. And my heart is rejoicing, because in the midst of praise and worship, and the promise is that he has it available for all of us. So I could see families, I could see marriages, I could see houses, I could see health, I could see healing. And his promise is, if we do these things, then we would all be able to go into the land that he has for us. So this has really been significant for me. I thank you all for putting up with me and hanging out with me, amen, over this journey, and I really appreciate it. My heart is deeply touched and moved, and I will remember this for years and years and years to come, and especially at a pivotal moment where God is shifting and moving us into the realm that we've been desiring, where we will have endless victory all the time, and I see it. And his promise is, he said, if I do my part and you do your part, then all of us will be able to get that. And I'll be able to show you that from the word. I can't preach it today, amen, but I got it for next week, amen? God bless you. Thank you so much for taking the time to listen to the messages of the spoken word, studying to show yourself approved unto God, workmen who need not be ashamed. I trust God is really growing you into the mature Christian leader that he desires you to be. And I just feel it a privilege to be a part of that ministry in your life. I want to share with you an exciting opportunity and project that we're involved in. We are currently renovating our building in the city of Inglewood, California. It will be our ministry headquarters and an evangelistic center. Youth training and motivational school. Souls will be won from that place, marriages saved and lives changed. It will be a center for God. The power of the Holy Ghost will be operational, and a lot of evangelistic activity will take place. We will have the kind of headquarters that will glorify our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I want to speak to you personally and ask you to consider at this time to make a gift, a donation, monthly or a one-time gift toward the renovation of this particular property, and also to assist the ministry in its outreach. Your gifts will help us in a powerful way to be the kind of witness God has called us to be. And I'm sure you have understood from sharing with us and listening to the CDs and other downloads, or however you have heard about our ministry, I'm sure you have benefited from that, and we want to make that available in the widest way possible. You can go to our website at www.solfellowship.com. That is www.solfellowship.com. There, you can go to click and pledge and make your donation and contributions right there, or you can get information with our mailing address and send it through the postage.
I want to thank you so much. My heart is just overjoyed of sharing this time with you, and I look forward to hearing you. God bless. Be strong in the Lord. Take care.